Well, words have their place, but actions often speak louder than words. And how loving are you toward your spouse? I'm John Fuller, along with Greg and Aaron Smalley, who run our marriage department here at Focus on the Family. And we're going to hear now from Chris and Jenny Graby. They host a podcast called The Rhythm of Us, which is also the title of a book they wrote. And Chris and Jenny joined Jim Daly and me in the studio to talk about God's love and how that can motivate you to serve your spouse.
Yeah, another positive rhythm that you have in the book is service. I mean, I think everybody gets that, but practically, how does that work in your marriage?
Well, it's so important, right? And, you know, of the five rhythms, just so people know, like, you know, we've been married almost 18 years, but in the grand scheme of things, that's not that long. Mm-hmm. So,
although you'll notice young people go, 18 years.
I know. It is.
How have you done that? Wait till you say 35.
Yeah, 35. Yeah. How long have you guys
been? Almost 38.
Okay. Yeah, so, you know, and we really tried to sit with couples who've been married 50 years, 60 years, and learn from them in writing this book. So the five rhythms that we landed on are not only true of our marriage, we try and practice them, but they're also true across the board in these couples that we admire who've been not just married for decades, but in love with each other for decades. Those kind of couples that you go, oh my gosh, how do you still have that? I want that. What are those common five rhythms? So that's where the rhythms came from. But this rhythm of serving was true across the board. And they would all tell us, that's where you start, is serving each other. It's so important to get your eyes off of yourself and to see your spouse. You know, we just all wake up every morning and instinctively think of our own needs. That's just human nature. That's the way that we are. And it takes a lot of intentionality and practice to learn to see in a different way.
I think it's the whole purpose of marriage, actually, to become selfless.
Yeah.
Because whose character is that?
It's
God's
Jesus.
Character.
Right. Yeah, that's
so,
what he does.
I mean, I think he created the institution of marriage to teach us this point, and then we just blow right through it.
Well, I think the beauty of the way we kind of postured these five rhythms is everything that we're trying to say, hey, learn this rhythm with your spouse, comes from relationship with Christ.
Yeah.
Right.
Right? We should speak words of life to Christ, like in our prayer, in our worship. You know, when we're serving, we're serving the Lord, right? So ultimately, it's a great way to express what he's doing through us to our spouse. But, you know, serving, the rhythm of serving is not the one everyone's going to run to the book and go, ooh, let me read
this chapter. It's not the sexiest one.
You know,
it's
just definitely not.
That kind of says it all right there. Comment about selfishness.
Oh,
I think
yeah.
for us, the way it kind of plays out for us is, I think, you know, after a few years, we start to recognize, okay, there's certain things she just does not, it's really hard for her to do. And there's certain things that I don't love to do. I mean, can I do the laundry? Yes, I'll do the laundry. But she doesn't mind. So for me, we talk about in the book, like,
wait a second, you don't mind?
Yeah.
I'm just checking. Go ahead.
Well, we all have our least favorite chores, right?
Right, you know? Right. Hers is, she does not want to stick her hand in a dirty sink with dishes. So
okay.
I don't mind that. I was a server for years. I put my hand in plenty of mashed potatoes.
Perfect.
It's perfect strangers, right? So I've got five kids. You can imagine how gross our sink can get at times, right? So we serve each other in that way. And those are just the practical things of life. But a thing for us that we learned, you know, a few years ago, well, it was probably 15 years ago, you know, we early on in our marriage decided Jenny's going to stay home with our kids. You know, she's going to stay home with our kids. I'll go out and work. And so by Thursday, she would kind of hit this wall. And we just kind of said, okay, what's a way that I can serve her? Having my ears and eyes attuned to what's going on in her life, how can I serve her? And so we decided, hey, Fridays, you just leave. Go out into the world. I'll watch however many kids we have at home at the time. I'll work from home. We'll make it work. And then what happened was she goes out into the world. A few hours later, she's walking through the trees. She's doing her thing. She's like, I love you guys so much. Like, she just
needs a little
more
space.
She just comes back.
Yeah, that's good.
You've got to fill your tank back up.
While we're there, and John's going to mention how to get a copy of the book in just a moment, but we're talking about speaking life and service for your spouse. What are the others, just quickly before John jumps in here?
Slowing down, being present, seeking adventure, and staying in awe.
Greg, I loved hearing from Chris and Jenny and that example they had of Chris giving Jenny a night off from watching the kids. I tried to do that, and it was kind of fun for a while. I get how much work that is. It really is important, though, for us husbands to look for ways to serve our wives out of our comfort zone. I this is where I tend to go, is I tend to serve her in my comfort zone. And I think God's saying, no, do something that isn't so comfortable. What do you think?
Oh, I love that. I love the heart behind that. I think one of the keys, though, is to understand an important qualifier. So if I approach Aaron like, hey, I want to give you the night off, or hey, I want to help you do this, it can almost come across as, this stuff is really your responsibility. Like, kids, that's really your responsibility. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, this thing, you know, cooking is your responsibility, but I want to help tonight out of the goodness of my heart. It's just, it's an important piece that we don't frame it such that we're saying, you, Aaron, you really own this, so I'm just going to give you the night off. But when you come back, you'll be back on, and you keep dealing with all that.
Yeah, that doesn't remove any mm-hmm. load from your shoulders, does
no,
it?
No. I hear about that all the time, especially from stay-at-home moms who they're at home too. Care for children and as well as household responsibilities, but they don't want to be alone in it. They want they want to have a team.
This is where when I come in at night, it's really vital that I offer to set the table or just do it. Or I very naturally am more and more just picking up the table and putting stuff away. Dina's been a stay-at-home mom, taking care of 6 kids. She's done more than her share of that kitchen stuff. But if I start getting up to do that, she joins me, kind of to your point. It's a team thing.
Yeah, let's do this together.
It's a shared thing because it's time together. I think that's the point you were making, right, Greg?
It really is, because it was an important moment in our marriage when that paradigm shift happened, that I realized, you know, the times I'll come home to help serve. I mean, truly from a great place of loving Erin, of wanting to help her in any way. But really, my attitude was, this is really yours, and I'm just going to assist you, versus I really try to approach our marriage that all of it is all of our, I mean, me, Aaron, we all are 100% responsible for the state of our marriage, for the state of our family, all of that. So there needs to be a co-ownership, not a, this is yours, this is mine. Mm-hmm. I love then in Galatians 6:2, where it says, bear one another's burdens. So I think even taking this idea of how can I really take ownership and make sure Aaron understands that we're in this together, mm-hmm. is to apply and practice that Galatians 6:2, which says to bear one another's burdens. Mm-hmm. Well, the word bear means to support or to remove. So there are things that Aaron has taken on within our family that I can always come alongside her and go, hey, how can I best support you right now? Mm-hmm. How can I help? But not from a place of it's yours, it's ours, yeah. but she's the one executing, she's the one that's doing it, or you actually remove that thing. Mm-hmm. So it means to support or to remove. So there's been times that I've gone to Aaron and I've just said, hey, you know, we divide out certain household, you know, responsibilities. I mean, you have to. And I've asked her, you know, of the things that you've kind of taken on, is there any that you're like, I hate this the most? Like, I'm just tired of it. And she will say, you know, well, you know, the this or that. And I'll go, you know what, then for this season, let me own that.
It's pretty vital, Aaron, don't you think, for whichever spouse is being served. In this case, we're talking about husbands serving their wives, to let go then of that thing. Because I've been in group conversations.
Don't answer that until John unpacks why he's asking that
I'm just
question.
Thinking about conversations with guys.
In other words, if I'm going to say, hey, let me take that on for you to let me do it without you, then
without interference. Thank you. This is a conversation I've had more than once with some guys where the guy tries and it's not good enough. And so basically, what's the point?
Or done the way she would want it.
The term I like around this stuff is, what is the minimal acceptable standard?
Ooh, I like that.
Which many men should aspire to, right?
Exactly.
I mean, what's the minimum?
What's the acceptable standard for our family? Yeah. I would say in this
I've taught her that.
Yeah. And I'm joking, but it's a good point. Yes.
Yeah. So in that way, when I give Greg a task or ask him to support me in a task, that we have agreed upon what is the acceptable standard here, the minimum, because I'm probably going to have the maximum in some areas, he's going to have the maximum in other areas, but it's allowing room for both. Mm-hmm. But I would say one of the biggest things in all of this is really being there when your spouse needs you, especially a husband for a wife, because there's this deep question in each of us. Are you going to be there for me in my time of need? Mm. And so the need could be as simple as, I am totally overwhelmed. I would say I had to give this Proverbs 31 talk about 2 weeks ago, and my computer crashed. I lost the talk multiple times, and I was working prior to leaving, and I was trying to prepare everything to get out of town, and I was completely overloaded, and my husband saw that. He noticed me, which means he's watching, and that's something that women, wives want. They want to know that their husband sees them, and he was like, you know what? Let me take this, and I'll prepare your PowerPoint and your handout.
Oh.
I was like, oh my word, in my time of need, that could not have spoken more to my heart. And he did that. And those are the kind of things, just watch, just keep your eyes open. Yeah. And this is for wives too, for watching husbands.
Yeah.
You know, how can you step in and support?
Yeah. So husbands, keep your eyes on your wife. Make sure that you're paying attention to her needs. Look for ways to serve her and to encourage you along the way. Get a copy of the book from Chris and Jenny Graby called The Rhythm of Us, Creating the Thriving Marriage You Long For. We've got that here at Focus on the Family. We're making it available for a donation of any amount to the Ministry of Focus. Help us reach out around the world through podcasts like this, through all the great resources we have. Be a part of the support team, and we'll send that book to you, The Rhythm of Us. We also have a free online marriage assessment that you can take. Over 1 million individuals have completed that, and it addresses areas like communication and finances, physical intimacy, and more. That's free, and we're going to link over to that in the show notes as well. Next time, the Grabies will address how to communicate about adventure with your spouse. And for now, on behalf of Greg and Aaron, I'm John Fuller, and thanks for listening to the Focus on the Family Marriage Podcast.
It can be challenging to inspire your community to see life the way God sees it. So what's the solution? Well, on June 15th, Focus on the Family is hosting Sea Life 24. And no matter where you are or who you are, you can be a part of this free event with speakers like Ben and Kirsten Watson and real stories about choosing life. Sea Life 24 will inspire you to translate your faith into action. Register today at sealife24.org.